It has taken me some time to get this episode out to you, chummers, and the reason is I have just now been able to stop myself from sobbing. Yes, old Opti has been brought to tears by the recent released Dunkelzahn the Musical. Well, it really was only one tear, and my allergies were acting up. But nevertheless, I suggest everyone give it some attention. And for that reason, I have brought onto air with me, via secure Matrix connection, a few fellow runners, Strawberry and Last Call, along with another voice from the shadows, a certain Mr. Hacks. Say hello, chummers.
Hello.
Hello, all.
Excellent. I'd like to spend a few minutes chatting about the musical and its inspiration, as an inspiration to you little crows, to track it down and listen. Before we get into the musical itself, tell me, after all this time, why retell the story? And why a musical? How did this project come to be? Strawberry?
Well, it's really actually quite simple. We were trying to run a charity play at the local church led by Father Mercy, and it sort of just snowballed from there. We just wanted to raise some money for some homeless people, and we were lucky enough to bump into a charitable backer in a local dragon, actually. We basically had the rights for the play all set aside because of that, but the donation was conditional on us performing this play. We read it over, and it seemed pretty good, and we just kind of went in our merry way. I still think the story is actually pretty relevant to today, if that counts for anything.
Sure. If what I hear you telling me is correct, you wanted to put on a musical for a bunch of homeless folks at a church, and you got some mysterious backer that said he would fund it as long as you tell this particular story. Is that right?
That's basically the sum of it.
I see. Do any of the other two, Mr. Hacks or Last Call, do you have anything to say about that? Is that consistent with what you know?
Am I off mute now? Because I had some words for him that whole time he's going on with that, and I couldn't... Yeah, no, that is, of course, complete bulldreck. I've been a big fan of yours, and I'm so glad to be in here talking to your little crows, but my following, we all know, those in the know are out there for show, and that's all they know. And we know that this is all bull. You know that these stories about these dragons and the way they affect our lives and the way they change our lives and they affect us, you know. They get into us like puppets. They make us dance. And this was all just a game for them. You know, a game.
All right, let's push the mute button one more time on Mr. Hacks. So what I hear him saying, Last Call, maybe you can respond to this, is that this is all just a giant setup by a bunch of dragon overlords. Is that correct? I wouldn't put it past them, but that's what he's saying.
I'm not one to knock dragons, Opti, but I don't see how this would have been an elaborate plot to control people. It ended 15 minutes after it started.
That's interesting. I'm not sure what you mean, but let's move on.
Well?
The musical drifts, as all good musicals do, from romantic to menacing to whimsical, but always with scenes relevant for today's audience. Tell me, what were each of your favorite scenes? Let's start with you, Strawberry.
Honestly, I can't really say if it's my favorite scene, but I know for certain that I've got my favorite line from the play. Which
sure.
was just that that little exchange between Hestaby and Loafweir, where he's just sitting there going, "Hestaby, such betrayal. I expected better. There was a time I would have thought that we could rule together." And she just responds, "You think I want more power? That all the world is tender? Keep this up and you shall be the ruler of the cinder." And it's just sort of like that just explains a lot of the soul of these people in just that little moment. Just, do you want to just consume the world or do you want to build it up?
I see, and I couldn't help but notice that you called the dragons people. Moving along. Mr. Hacks, what would you consider to be your favorite scene in play?
People? Come on, these are dragons we're talking about. It took me great risk of life and limb and great effort. I had to go out there in the meat to get this recording because nobody wanted us to know. This political hit piece trying to convince us that these dragons, that some of them care and some of them are actually trying to help them. My favorite part was when blood was shed, because this stuff is bull. And can you believe they're trying to feed us down, like, straight into this complete lies?
All right, okay, just, okay.
It just keeps on going.
I'm the conspiracy theorist around here, and you're getting a little bit out there even for me. Nevertheless, last call, why don't you tell us what your favorite scene is?
My favorite scene, Opti, would have to have been the 10 minutes of opening music before the gunfire and bombs went off.
You are referring to the opening night of the musical, correct?
Can't say I saw another performance, but it was quite a moving chorus right before I had to duck and cover for my life.
I see. Well, thank you for that. The final production, if I might say so, was a little bit unorthodox, given maybe the lack of professional actors and whatnot, but tell the Little Crows who was cast and how it came to be, starting with you, Strawberry.
Well, it was pretty straightforward, actually. We were recruiting largely members of the Caring Hands organization, and those were, as a general group, sinless individuals who just wanted to do something to better themselves and the organization they were working for and that was helping provide for them. It's really about that straightforward. Basically, casting was done on a case-by-case, just interview basis. It's hard to say that we had lots of big-name talent showing up, but, you know, there were some people with some real heart, and a couple of actual former actors took a hold of the main chunk of the cast, which I was really happy to see.
Fascinating. Last call, is that your understanding as well?
Yeah, that was my understanding. Father Mercy's wonderful band of Misfits and Sinless, just trying to put on a good show to raise a little money.
And Mr. Hacks, I suppose you have something contrary to say.
Oh, of course. And those so-called cast members who really knew what they're doing, yeah, those were government plants.
There we have it. Okay, thank you. All right, that's okay. All right. That's enough. And what has been the reception, both among the elite and the sinners and the sinless alike? We'll start with you, last call.
Well, I'd say the reception was a bit of shock as a church in a touristville just caught fire and burned to the ground. But from what I understand, a few people felt uplifted. Most people didn't notice. It's another day in Seattle.
Gotcha. And Strawberry?
Yeah, like, I'm with last call on this one. It's really unfortunate, actually, because we put a ton of work into it. We had a play that was going to go out and make an impression, but it never really happened. And as for the elites, well, you've got to understand that what got released was basically an illegal rip, and they're probably not going to watch that.
Now, that brings us to the main crux of why I have all three of you on. Now, from what I understand, the actual release of the musical is not the opening night of the musical itself, nor was it any other recognized recording of the musical. Is that correct, Strawberry?
That's correct, actually. I was genuinely surprised to see that recording get out there.
Now, how did the recording get out there? And I'm going to turn to you, Mr. Hacks.
The recording got out there the same way it always does. Intrepid individuals such as myself, such as you, Opti, and our following, they need to know what these in the know really do know. So they go out there, they get out in the meat, they send out the information, they send out their little fingers, and they find this stuff out. I snuck in intrepidly and great risk to myself into the establishment and recorded this play so everyone, all of those of us who are really in the shadows, would know what's really going
okay,
on.
Okay, got it. Great dragons, we hate them. But what I understand you saying is that you snuck in to, what, a dress rehearsal? Is that what you're claiming?
No, I snuck into the real play. Like, as I was just telling you, you know, if you'd stop muting me, I'd actually be able to speak my piece. And I got into the actual play. This so-called explosion, no, that was the secondary play. They put up these big trid screens, and they showed off this whole, and KE was involved, and everyone was trying to hide it on. But the actual play, while those in the know were there for the show, they got to see what was actually going on. And now we get to put that out for the grand
public.
Okay,
so your claim, Mr. Hacks, is that the musical itself on its opening night was not bombed, that it went off on schedule, and that you recorded it, and then there was a cover-up later to make it seem like the production never happened. Is that correct?
Yeah, the cover-up was simply an excuse to kill off all those sinless actors that they'd put as plants to make sure there wasn't going to be any backlash. And then they go and buy off these runners to come out and talk this big game about that it's not
How
a big conspiracy.
Jazz, are you on?
Are you accusing me of being bought off?
Last call. All right, Mr. Hex, you've spoken enough. Last call. Do you have anything to retort?
Well, I don't know about him sneaking into a dress rehearsal, but I can attest if anyone was there with recording equipment the night of the play, all they would have caught was a failed gunman and a few people putting their lives on the line for a bunch of sinless.
So you were there on that opening night.
I got two bullet scars to prove it.
And there you have it, folks. It's he said. Any last parting words, gentlemen?
Yes, Mr. Opti, can I just say something? In response to all of this stuff coming from Hax, can I point something out?
Of course.
Look, I am not fond of the enormously powerful folks that piss on us every day, but saying that there are no decent dragons is just as bad to me as saying there are no decent elves or no decent dwarves or what have you. This is a play that actively skewered the most powerful dragon in the world repeatedly, over and over again. Lothwyr is arguably the most major villain in this piece, and if it's some sort of mysterious conspiracy theory, then why the hell did that happen?
Is there any evidence or is there any suggestion that perhaps Lothwyr is the one who bombed the play?
We have no evidence to that effect. I genuinely don't know. Honestly, I don't think he would care enough. He's
Someone as busy as Lothwyr, I don't think, would notice a little casual insulting. But if he did, I somehow don't think a half-crazed gunman would have been the option.
I see. He does seem to be a little bit more discreet than that, perhaps. Nevertheless, I'm going to take Mr. Hax off mute here again and give him the final word.
Strawberries, it's just like you to be a fruit. I don't know.
And
your name
mute again. Mute again.
Perfect.
They are gone. You're gone. All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for appearing. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being here to discuss the musical. I hope you all don't mind too much being on numerous watch lists for coming on the show. And now here, for your listening pleasure, is a sampling of Dunkelzahn, the musical.
Has to be such betrayal. I expected better. There was a time I would have thought that we could rule together.
You think I want more power, that all the world is tinder. Keep this up and you shall be the ruler of the cinder.
You know, that recording really doesn't sound like the sort of thing you would hear at a well-funded high-end charity event, does it, Crows? More like something my kid brother recorded in Mom's basement when he was 5. Doesn't sound much like a dress rehearsal, either. Makes me wonder what those in the know really know, anyway. Now, I can't expect you to waste any more time thinking about it with me, as you've already wasted an entirely good slot of time listening to the Anarchy in Podcasting Network. The music serving as the background to Audible Anarchy was written by the legend Marshall Parker and reimagined by Unidunium 88. This was the Neo-Anarchist Podcast, and I am your host, the irresistible, incorrigible, inconsistent, irreverent, iridescent, invincible information mancer, instigating irreversible incantations, inciting income equality, insisting incomplete indexes get integrated, and instructing inoculation in itty-bitty babies. Opti, enjoy your freedom. And remember, just say no if someone pays you to sing in a musical with dragons as the main characters. Oh, and P.S., if you have any extra Nuyen, make sure to support Father Mercy and his Helping Hands outreach program. Word on the street is he's a bright spot in an otherwise dark world.